This is the Box Gathering Podcast. We take a deeper look into how learning affects boxing development and how our understanding of this as coaches can make a greater impact on performance. Catch up with us at www.theboxgathering.co.uk. The Box Gathering. Connect, share, grow. Hi, everyone. Episode, cool, what are we now? 71 of the Box Gathering Podcast. Hope everyone's having a great new year. Now everyone had a great, fantastic Christmas. I know a lot of the amateur boxing clubs are all back in the gyms now, working hard, and there's actually been several shows, especially around the Southern Counties area, in early January 2023, and lots more coming up late January and early February. So it's great to see everyone getting all the boxes out and ready and on weight and all that loveliness. Bits and pieces I've been doing at Dice, really, just continuing with just the kind of whole learn-to-learn skin acquisition pieces with the boxers, just trying to get them to understand the processes of how learning works, essentially. Been looking at simplifying two different types of spars, really. Now, said it before in lots of many episodes in the past, that if you're talking about Newell's Triangle, if you're talking about changing some of the constraints or manipulating constraints, you can look at task constraints, you can look at the person or the opponent constraints, and you can look at the environment constraints, i.e. the ring, size, shape, and lots of other things that affect that. So three different types of things. So usually the easiest thing to manipulate is the task constraint, and I've just been keeping it simple at work at the moment and just looking at either punches that are allowed, so given a certain amount of punches that they can use, or actually looking at certain targets that they're allowed to hit. So kind of constraining what they can use or where they can hit. And I just want to briefly talk about those two things. That might sound quite simple, and of course we all do it all the time, and manipulate those two constraints. But what I'm really finding is this, from a kind of ecological perspective, from ecological dynamics, etc., I'm finding that if you are conditioning certain shots, so you can throw maybe a straight shot to the head, or you can throw uppercuts only, or certain body shots, or certain types of shots. Essentially, I think what actually does happen is that you get certain attractors coming into it. So you get a lot of the boxers kind of falling back on the safe shots that they know that they're competent at, and they're good at, and they're looking to score. And while that's not a bad thing, in terms of the whole kind of discovery scene, looking and trying, experimenting, and getting better rather than just working on what they know, it does have a real limit on what you do. So it could be that actually you're kind of really over constraining the spar, so they're actually just sticking to kind of what they know. Now the other side of things as well is the target area. So actually constraining and offering only certain target areas. So you could say, for example, just the front of the face, the left side of the face, the right side of the face, upper chest area, lower sort of belly area just above the belt there, or round to the sides, and constraining those areas there. Now the interesting thing about that is, because you're not saying to them you must only throw this shot to get there, they do have a certain amount of different ways that they can solve that problem, that task problem. By saying you can only throw this shot, essentially in some ways is actually giving them the answer for them to repeat. So they're just repeating the answer and answer over again. I think if you give them a target to aim for, then what you're doing is you're posing a problem and then having to repeat the process of finding the way to the different target in different ways. So for example, if I said to an orthodox boxer, you're trying to find the right cheek, the right side of the upper target, right side of the face on an orthodox boxer, against an orthodox boxer, you know 9 times out of 10 that they're going to throw a left hook. They're going to come around and throw a left hook. But there are different ways to get around that. So especially if you've got the same task constraint, you're both going to the left side of the face, it's really easy to shut that off, isn't it? You just keep your hand really high and that doesn't move from there, and it's very, very difficult. But what tends to happen, if you allow them to use different shots, they might spin off. So they might pivot, sidestep, and come back with straight shots. Shots that, or movements that they're not really tuned into, so they're going to have a lot more success. So therefore, they might try these different types of solution solutions to the problem. So they'll start sidestepping and pivoting, like I say. So it kind of opens up a lot more confidence for them to do that. Whereas before, they're always going to go to their kind of their attractors, their safe haven, which is I'll throw a lead hook around the corner, and that's going to be successful. But by allowing both boxers to do that, they tune into their defenses a lot more, so it makes it harder. So they have to actually explore that kind of constraint landscape, if you will. So they actually have to move their feet or move their trunk and find the target. Even little different things start coming out of it as well, like kind of immobilizing the hand, pulling the guard down, and finding a way to the target. So it becomes really, really interesting. And of course, both boxers are having similar jobs where they're trying to destabilize each other, they're trying to compromise each other's balance and find ways to the target. So there's still that kind of live, very representative practice where both boxers are still trying to score and not get scored against. So other manipulations with that as well can be, okay, well, let's change the target area. So we get even more real to what boxing looks like, okay, even more representative. So I might have to go to one certain target and the other boxer goes to another, a different target. So you're kind of split in terms of, well, I've got to try and find this target. So how do I use my balance, my different shots? How do I use deception, feints, triggers, draws, and things like that to get there, and practicing different solutions to get there. But at the same time, keeping your mind on the defense and recognizing the patterns and strategies that your opponent's doing to try and find another target. But that's only if you know what they're doing. So the third kind of progression I'd say with that is, okay, well, let's do it covertly. So let's not let each other know what those are. Don't tell them. So the coach either doesn't tell each boxer. The boxer chooses, but maybe tells the coach, so the coach is knowing what to look out for, but the other boxer doesn't know. So it becomes even more representative. Loads of variability in there, so that's going to really bring practice the difficulty up. But hopefully, more skills will emerge, and they can keep practicing those different solutions to the problem. So essentially, what I'm looking at is if we are constraining and saying, okay, you can only use certain punches, you are going to get a decent amount of variability, yes, but in terms of that kind of level of realness, that real liveness that you're going to actually find when you're competing, then I think that drops a little bit. So by actually giving certain targets or missions to aim for, they start seeing the opportunities or the affordances, if you want the buzzword for that. The affordances for that and trying to find different ways to do it. So the whole perception action loop starts really switching on, especially that whole action part first, starting moving to find different answers because they know that a lot of the answers will, that a lot of the time the target will be closed off and hard to find. So they have to start moving in a different way to find a different answer. So they're acting to perceive, then they're perceiving to act. So we have talked about that several times in the past on the podcast. And the final part to it as well that I just want to discuss is that if you are offering a target, then the boxers will have an external focus of attention. So if they're looking outwards, they're more likely to self-organize themselves in a way that they can find the target because a lot of studies do show that if you're externally focused, then you're more likely to flow and have a lot of more degrees of freedom to act. So that kind of exploratory environment in when you're sparring becomes a lot more open for you to find out things. You're not just repeating the same old stuff that you already know. If it's internal, i.e., you're given a certain punch only you can throw, it does internalize things a lot more and limits things a lot more. So it can become a lot more clunky. Things become a lot more internalized, so that means you go back to those normal attractors, which are one, the constraint you're given, which is certain shots only. But if you're given maybe straight shots, so it's obviously a straight left or a straight right, then you're going to focus a lot more internally now than what I would thought would happen if you are focusing externally because you're given certain tasks. And of course, you can always change those tasks, you can always put those. You can always combine those targets as well. So it might be left cheek, right side of the body, or center, sort of belly button area, and front of the face. And then you start joining up all the different samples together. So you get a kind of multitude of shots and punches that you start developing that you wouldn't have practiced in the past, because if you did it from a very rote information processing manner, which is being told what to throw, i.e. a pad put up or certain shots, then you're really constrained to the amount of shots that you can throw. So you only get a certain amount of answers. But if it's a target and it's say, like I say, front of the face, left side, you will get a lot more combinations of, well, combinations. So therefore you get a lot more answers to the problem. So the boxer starts really, really exploring how they can find those targets, how they can combine those targets together. And it becomes a lot more, I think, worth it in the long run in terms of that kind of, rather than being a block practice where you're just practicing the same answers again, the boxers are really, really thinking about what they're doing, and what possibilities there are out there, what affordances to act there are out there, and they really start staying away from those attractors, the fullbacks, the safety shots that they're always good at. So there we go. There's my long and somewhat convoluted answer to the stuff I've been doing at the moment in terms of the whole learn to learn pieces. So yeah, both work very well, but at the moment I'm kind of really finding myself in the target zone rather than the technical, overly constrained zone where it's just choosing certain shots. All right, guys, everyone have a good one. Speak to you soon. Cheers. Bye bye.
If you liked this podcast, similar content and discussions can be found at The Box Gathering. The Box Gathering is a social initiative born out of the ashes of the first lockdown in March 2020. We provide a platform where coaches, boxers, officials, and boxing enthusiasts can join together online to discuss various boxing topics. It's free to join, and upgrade options offer unlimited access to all our live gatherings, campfire videos, and coaching resources. Join today at www.theboxgathering.co.uk.